we go.
Welcome to the FTN Dynasty Podcast.
Helping you create the ultimate dynasty.
Welcome to the NFL.
Here's your host, Jeremy Popolars.
Let's go!
Welcome in, everybody. Jeremy Popolars here with you, as always, continuing the division previews here on the Dynasty Podcast. This time, another great guest along for the ride. This is Dave Heilman at Dynasty Dorks, if you don't know him on X. Great colleague of mine. Dave, I'm glad to have you on. It's been a little bit since we talked last time, so excited to have you on here. I believe, if I remember correctly, Colts fan, so had to bring you with the AFC South. So, Dave, how's it going?
It's going well. We're right there. The season is coming. The redrafters are finally joining the crowd. Giants fan, but I live in Colts
Giants
country.
Fan. So I'm not.
So I'm always here for that. So super excited, and I appreciate you having me on.
I think you'd rather be a Colts fan. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know which situation looks better, but Jackson Dart looking pretty good. I will say that. So probably looks a little better for the Giants and ex Bills, Brian Daboll there. So it's always a fun time. I'm a closet Giants fan. I root for them. You know, all those teams that are bad, I've been there as a Bills fan. So I know how it goes, and I will always be on your side, Dave, for the Giants.
Appreciate but that.
Until they're good and then they beat the Bills, I'll be like, no, bad Giants. Either way, we're not here to talk about
Bills fans that are mad about the wide left.
Yeah, it happens. It wasn't their fault. It wasn't the Giants' fault. So I don't hold grudges if it wasn't their fault. So either way, Dave, we're not here to talk about history. We're here to talk about the future. We're also here to talk about the AFC South, not the Giants, because we could probably spend a whole time talking about the Giants. Either way, we're talking AFC South today. I'm excited. A lot of questions within this division and really fantasy relevance, not just in 2025, but beyond here as dynasty managers. We're going to rip it off here with the Houston Texans. We're going to rip the Band-Aid. We're going to go with a team that was, I would say, slightly disappointing from a fantasy aspect last year, battled some injuries, and hopefully it's better here in 2025 for the fantasy production. But right off the rip, Nico Collins, obviously the guy there in Houston, not worried about him, fantasy value, dynasty or 2025. The only concern would be injury, which we saw last year. Again, too hard to predict what's going to happen, so not too worried there. After him, though, where are you going in the investment? They have a pair of Iowa State rookies in Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. And then they also brought over the veteran Christian Kirk, who really had a career resurrection in Jacksonville prior to an injury this past season. So I think some people have forgotten just how good Christian Kirk has been from the slot and kind of as a PPR possession type of receiver. I really still like Christian Kirk, and I also love Jalen Noel as a prospect. So I'm curious to see where you're at here on who you're really kind of investing in behind Nico Collins here in this Texans offense.
Yeah. And when you look at, you know, we always say we don't hate the players, we hate the value. I like Jaden Higgins more than I like Jalen Noel, but I really like Noel's value. I mean, you talk about who you can draft instead of Higgins. It's a tough choice because he's going in the early second of your rookie drafts. If you're going from a dynasty standpoint, you know, he's going to be someone that you're going to be drafting a lot higher. Noel is just because Christian Kirk is there and kind of there's no expectation for immediate value. He just drops. And so he's a guy that I've been getting late third, scooping him up. He's got a very interesting skill set for that offense. That's, you know, Nico's over the top. Nico does a whole lot of different things, but they don't really have someone that can do the across the middle, the stuff that Dell was doing. And Dell does not. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. His career could even be over. But we saw how well that he was in this offense. I would love to see Noel get into that spot. And Kirk's only got a one-year deal. He's going to get, you know, probably go somewhere else next year, and then you're going to have somebody.
Yeah, I feel a lot of the same. You know, I feel like Diggs was also one of those guys that's gone now to in the middle of the field, operating in that short kind of check down type of territory. So I agree. I think Noel, even in, like you said, rookie drafts, he was fairly affordable. And even startups, there's some dynasty startups kicking up now. That itch is there. So I like it as a late round flyer. Like you said, especially in a startup, like where Jaden Higgins goes, like I'm probably passing. It just feels a little bit too much of a repeat of what Nico Collins does in that offense. And maybe they can have two of those guys on the perimeter and still be viable. But it just feels like Noel's the complement to Collins and would probably be that long-term better option. So I am there with you on that. And if you are a contender, like Kirk's a sneaky value, I think, in 2025. I think he'll have a very big piece of this offense.
For sure. It costs nothing. You could go get Christian Kirk right now for, you know, 2026 third.
Yeah. And I would be scooping that all day, every day, especially when we get to the next part of my questions here, Dave, the running back room. It seems like Joe Mixon is hurt more than we would want if you roster Joe Mixon, but it opens up a window for some players behind him. Now, is it going to be Nick Chubb, Woody Marks, or maybe what sounds like in camp, some Jawar Jordan love there in Houston? Where are you going, if at all, or are you kind of just like, let's avoid this room at all at full cost?
There's starting to be a little steam out there for Woody Marks. I liked him as a prospect. I was kind of surprised he went as late as he did, but it was a really, really strong class. And I think you look at some of these day three picks that would have been day two picks, or at least early day three picks last year, in a weaker class. Woody Marks is one of those guys. A lot of stuff on Twitter in regards to his pass pro reps. That's a very easy way to get on the field. It's not just about being able to catch the ball. That's great. That's a part of being there. But if you want someone that's going to be on the 2-minute offense, that's going to be in on third downs, they have to be able to pass pro. And Woody Marks does that, and he does it in spades, and he's a good runner. So I think he's the person I would invest in. Nick Chubb, the injuries look like they're getting to him, and he doesn't offer much in the passing game either. So there's no long-term value either with Chubb. So I would rather invest in Marks, and he also just another guy that's super cheap.
Where are you going in 2025? We'll say like between Joe Mixon and Nick Chubb, we'll say both fairly recent injury history, both up there in age. Mixon maybe offers more in the pass game if he's healthy. Or are you leaning a little towards Chubb because he's like healthy now and there's a chance he kind of cements the early down work, which could be viable if he's a touchdown vulture in what is hopefully a much improved Texans offense?
No, I still would go Mixon. It's hard to know how much, you know, with the foot injury, because they've not put him on the pup or had surgery or anything like that. But it is concerning. But Nick Chubb was super inefficient last year. I don't think it gets much better. And Mixon was really good. He was really good for fantasy football for a long time on an offense that wasn't really that great with a bad offensive line. I'm still Mixon.
All right. Fair enough. The injuries don't scare him away. That's fair. And honestly, some people will be scared from Mixon's injury. So maybe you can scoop up some value if you are a contender to kind of shore up your running back room. I wouldn't count on him as a lead guy, but as your third running back or something, very good option there in Joe Mixon. All right. Last and not least here for the Texans, one guy that I love near and dear to my heart is CJ Stroud. Dave, where are you at dynasty rankings, dynasty love for CJ Stroud? Is he still a top 8 quarterback? Because not too long ago, people were clamoring him as a QB, as the QB1 in dynasty and valuing him there, which was crazy for a guy that I even loved, CJ Stroud. If you know, you follow my work, like I was in on CJ Stroud in that draft class, like, but when people were trying to say he was QB1, I'm like, all right, you should probably move CJ Stroud, because after that rookie year, yes, it was great, but he doesn't offer the rushing upside. He'd have to have historic passing numbers yearly to even get close to some of these guys that offer the dual threat ability. So I'm putting the benchmark at 8. I feel like that's where you start to get into some of those guys like the Burrows and the Herberts that we've seen in the past that have that high-end passing upside with no real rushing upside. Do you have him there, or do you think he's really is kind of just maybe that was a one-year wonder as a rookie and he's more of a 12 to 15 type of player for us?
Well, let's go down the list. Josh Allen, we're both taking Josh Allen, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Lamar Jackson. Jaden Daniels, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes. That's where it gets a little bit more interesting. Would you prefer Mahomes or Stroud?
I think Stroud. I mean, it's tough because Mahomes, the nice thing about Mahomes, and I've always said this, is like the security. You know that Mahomes is the starter. You know he's on a good paired coaching staff. You know that he's going to be fairly productive. Like, that security in Dynasty is a nice feeling to have. Like, yes, he's not elite last year as far as production goes, but like that long-term value, and we've seen the high-end stuff from Mahomes, so like it could come back. Yeah, that's tough.
So that's six. And so if you put Stroud at six, then that's there. But you have Herbert, Nix, and then Drake May and Caleb Williams. And so for me, I would put Drake May over Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
I would put Nix over Stroud. And I would keep Mahomes and Herbert, but I would put them all in the same tier. And then with Caleb Williams, so I would have Caleb Williams and Stroud right there with a QB 10, QB 11.
That's fair. I think I'm torn. I don't have him ranked inside the top eight right now. I could make a case for it. I want to see a bounce back. I feel like last year, the offensive line was an issue. I think he's a very viable dynasty quarterback. Like you said, that 10 to 12 range is fair. I'm not going to harp on anybody who has him significant. Like, if you have him at like 20, then we got some problems. But like, you know, somewhere in that range feels about right. If you see a little bit of a bounce back, sure, I'll push him up. I just have always thought that he was kind of in that territory of like 8 to 10, just because of the rushing upside, but still a very viable player. Most leagues nowadays, I feel like, are super flex. So like, very viable dynasty players. So just curious. I felt like you said, when you hit that Mahomes territory, that's where it starts to get interesting. So I feel like some people could easily have him close to eight,
yeah,
if not in the top eight. So
yeah, top 10.
All righty. Let's move on. Lots of fun here in Jacksonville as well. Dave, what do we make of the running room back room mess? All right. Tank Bigsby, Tutton, ETN, none of the above.
This is where everybody on Twitter goes and picks one player out of this and then hates on all the other guys because they just really hope that they're right. I don't know what they're going to end up doing, but when it gets like this, I'm always going to take the cheapest option. With Tank Bigsby, he's probably the best runner in this room. He also has like the ball security issues. You don't have that with him. He could be the early down and the goal line person. ETN has great pass catching skill set, but he was awful last year. He's also in a contract year, could easily be moved at some point. You could have that situation with him. Tutton has all of the buzz, and he has all the skills, but he does have some pass pro issues and some ball security issues, which if that becomes an issue, he won't see the field. So it doesn't matter how fast he is and how great his 40 time was and his vert and all that. So for me, I'm going to avoid. But if Tutton is at cost, I can take him. I would go Tutton for the upside just because where you're getting Bigsby and ETN right now, I would just rather go with other options. Like there's a world where neither of those guys are starters by the end of the season and Tutton's the starter. But there's a very good possibility neither of my starters next year. And in a dynasty startup, I just don't want to invest in running backs that I really don't project to be starters next year. I would take Tutton over the other guys just because of price. I think that you're going to get them in early. And, go ahead.
And you're resetting that window. Like Tutton's the staff's running back they selected rookie year. Like you're kind of resetting it. What does scare me with Tank? Like I love Tank Bigsby. I was a big Tank Bigsby truther from day one. Like, I think he's the best pure runner in this backfield, 100%. Gets downfield, physical presence, great asset in the ground game. The issue is that Tutton reminds me more of his role than, say, taking ETN's. That's where I'm concerned. Like, I get ETN could be gone. I know we've seen some a little bit of that, you know, like tweets and stuff out there. You know, there's rumors are flying. But Tutton isn't a pass catcher. Like, he's just not. He never really was very good at Virginia Tech. Like, he's probably serviceable. Most running backs are serviceable, but like, he's not Travis Etienne, who is a very good pass catching running back and route runner, etc. That we've seen that. It's prolific at Clemson. He's showed it at the NFL level. So that's my only concern with Tank, is like, Tutton feels more of like taking Tank's role, but I think Tank's better than Tutton. So I'm not too worried in 2025, at least at this point in their careers. But Tutton's upside's huge. Like you said, the electric 40 time, we've seen the big plays, like, but he's still got some issues. So I'm with you. I think the value on Tutton's fair. It's the upside swing. You're resetting your clock in a startup. If you're late and you're just looking to add a guy for some depth in 2025, like, I'm probably taking Tank, like you said, or maybe you take ETN on the discount, hoping he gets traded, you know, like, there's that chance.
And that's the thing, is I thought there would be a bigger discount on ETN, and there's not. Like,
yeah,
there are he's still in out like there. 30s. Like, I run Dynasty Price Checks, threads, and I'm like, are these all just people that have Travis Etienne on their team and that think that like he's worth a mid-second? People are like, I would pay a mid-second right now. I'm like, I wish I had Etienne. I could sell him, because people still are like buying in on 2 years ago. They're like, he's going to bounce back. I'm like, this dude had no excuses last year to be as bad as he was. And then with Tank, he literally can't catch the ball. Like, he has more 100%. Like drops that turn into other team interceptions.
The little girl gif with the yellow ball is Tank Bigsby. 100%. If you see a throw to him, just get the gif locked up on your phone and just send it to Twitter, because it's going to be an interception going the other way. Love the guy, but it's just not his forte. And it does blow my mind. Like, the problem that I feel like is people just negate what Travis Etienne's been for his entire career, which has actually really been a very mediocre fantasy asset. Like, he had one bleep year where he scored a ton of touchdowns. Like, that's why he was good. Like, he scored an absurd amount of touchdowns and hasn't gotten back. Like,
yeah,
we've seen the talent, it's there, but like you said, like, it's not, he's not worth a second. Like, I would be taking those as well.
And again,
like,
that's where it comes down to. It's the value. Those guys are still being drafted and redraft in top 30 running backs, that they're being drafted in top 35 running backs for Dynasty. It's just too high when your other options are just younger, more upside, resetting the clock kind of players. Or you can go with guys like Braylon Allen, Zach Charbonnet, mm-hmm. Trey Benson over those guys. And if a situation goes the right way, they're much better. Jordan Mason.
Yeah. And in a room that when you ever have a three-headed monster, it's a tough game. You want to guess right and you get some discount. But these guys, like you said, aren't even super discounted. Where they're going, like, there's still some other viable options that you could get discounts on, truly potential starters. You know, not as much as we like love Javonte Williams post-injury, but like, right now he's lined up to be the guy in Dallas, and this is right in that situation. And who's he have? A rookie in Jaden Blue, who's been explosive, but again, much like Tutton, has his issues. And like the ghost of Miles Sanders, like, there's a good chance, like, Javonte Williams, if you're looking for a short-term player in a dynasty startup in that range, like, probably a better option to go 100%. That direction. Or like you said, Jordan Mason, like, these guys, they're a better option because there's less competition in what is a little bit of a clearer situation.
Yep.
All right, we got to go there. The rookie exploded in Brian Thomas Jr. last season. Is he still a top 12 wide receiver for you, even with the arrival of Travis Hunter, who we've seen now, again, still yet to be seen how much offense defense split? Early on, though, we saw some good work here in the first week of the preseason for Travis Hunter on the offensive side of the ball. So where are you at here with this price check on both of these kind of players? And like, are you willing to pay top five prices that you're probably paying for Brian Thomas Jr. right now because of what was a very good rookie season?
Yeah, I actually bought a couple of Brian Thomas shares right after Travis Hunter got drafted. I'm in on Brian Thomas. I think for me, the breakout on rookie year is huge for me. But also the way he did it was just the consistency, doing it with bad quarterback play. I mean, with Mac Jones, he was still balling out, winning people fantasy championships. He was the only thing available on that offense. Teams double teaming him, he was still putting up points. He just looked so good. And so, like, I'm looking at it from a standpoint of I'm not worried about Travis Hunter because the volume is going to be there. And Travis Hunter, yeah, he's going to get some red zone. He's going to get some action, but he's not going to be a full-time receiver on offense. And even if he did play, you know, full-time, I'm still not going to bring Brian Thomas Jr. down that far. But I just don't think – I don't think Hunter's – you have so many – with Evan Engram out, Christian Kirk out of there, Gabe Davis out of there, so many targets to go around. I think you're going to be fine for both guys. But I don't see Hunter being like a top 12 guy. I think he's more like a wide receiver 3 and Brian Thomas is a top 6 guy.
All right. I like it. You know, I still jury's out for me on Brian Thomas Jr. I know it was a really good rookie year. I want to see it again. I do. I had some questions coming in, but I mean, he put him also into bed, so hard to really argue with him not being a top 12 wide receiver at this point in time, other than a vendetta. So I will say I have him in my top 12, but I just there's some leeriness to when I slotted him in there. But one other guy, you said plenty of targets go around. Are we in on Brenton Strange? Like, are you in on it? You think this is going to be a thing, or do you think he's just a guy to fill some space for now?
I'm all about taking the shot because I fully expected people to be like rising him up the board and then
like Zamir Whiting him.
Yeah. Like who was the dude that went from the Eagles to the Bears and then like everybody went crazy.
I forgot,
but like he hasn't gone up. Like his value is still really, really good. The guy that threw the Philly touchdown pass. But the
it'll come to me after the show.
The value's there. And so I like Brenton Strange. I picked him up or traded for him at the end of the year last year. So I have him on like half my dynasty leagues. And I was excited when I was like checking my rosters, like how much Strange I got. And then I had one new startup this offseason and I got Strange. And he's like just super cheap. So is he going to be a viable option every week? I don't think so. He's probably going to be a streaming option. But if this team, you know, the defense is really bad and they're playing from behind and they're throwing 35, 40 times a game. Yeah. I mean, he could be.
Hopefully Dave, you were smart. FTN family, maybe they were smart and listened to an article from I think it was last year, maybe even the year before when he was first there. I talked about how Engram had an out in his contract, and there's a very good chance that at some point Brenton Strange is getting that opportunity plus athlete. So I'm in on it. Like you said, I was surprised that he hasn't been driven up much more than where he is, even in like tight end premium leagues or any of those crazy tight end scoring leagues. He's still a solid value. So I'm definitely still in on it on that flyer. We talked about the quarterback position with C.J. Stroud. We're going to talk about it here again quick with Jacksonville. We listed him before, and he wasn't listed close to the top 15, but is Trevor Lawrence still a top 15 dynasty quarterback for you, or is it feel like he's just never going to live up to that generational talent we had hoped for when he came out of Clemson?
Well, when I rank, I'm really thinking about value because I look at all my dynasty players as assets, you know, and I cannot get top 15 prices for Trevor Lawrence right now. People are going to like, I think he's going to be right around that range, but would people rather have JJ McCarthy? I would. I'd rather have JJ McCarthy than Trevor Lawrence. Cam Ward, you know, like Michael Penix.
I feel like, and that's fair. That's a fair way to approach. Like, I think he deserves to be closer to 15 than where he's put it. Like, I personally would not rank Trevor Lawrence below Michael Penix. Like, I just wouldn't. I don't think the talent's there for Michael Penix to be better than Trevor Lawrence. Like, has he been there? No. But we've seen a little bit of that elite production. He's just been battling some injuries, and I still believe he could be closer to 15. I don't think he's top 15. I don't. But I think he's, like, 16. I think you can make that. I could make an argument for him to be 15 if a couple guys fall out. Like, to me, JJ McCarthy's that real question mark. That's the real one. I think, like you said, value wise and on the streets, like, people are going to want JJ McCarthy. Like, I get that. But I also would say maybe Trevor Lawrence is a little better. Like, I think we're going a little too hard the other direction on Trevor Lawrence at this point.
And again, it's kind of the perception, like not all leagues are going to feel the same way, but I feel like when I've had Trevor Lawrence, nobody's going to trade for him. And that's why I've kind of dropped down my rankings, that people just, the perceptions, the market's not there. But here's the ECR from Fantasy Pros: Jordan Love at 12, Kyler Murray at 13, Baker Mayfield at 14, Brock Purdy 15, then Trevor Lawrence at 16, JJ McCarthy at 17. So the guys like Dak and Goff and Baker, I could see them going behind Lawrence because of age and as far as value. Yeah. But then some of the guys that are younger and at least, you know, you have less bad tape on those, some of these guys where like Lawrence, people are just like, okay, 5 years in, I'm out. Like a lot of people, that's just where they're at. And they're kind of getting,
I think they're just tired. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're just tired of it.
100%.
Which is fair. And sad, because I still believe a little bit. There's still a little bit of belief from me, at least, for Trevor Lawrence. All right, Dave, we made it through two teams. We're halfway through the marathon. We're going to take a quick break. On the backside, we'll talk Titans and Colts, and then we'll get you out of here.
Hey, hey, it's Herms from FTN's Crossing Routes podcast. Football season is right around the corner, and there's no better way to lock in your fantasy dominance early than with best ball on DraftKings, where you draft once and ride your roster all season long. And right now, DraftKings is giving all customers a can't-miss offer. Draft one, get one. Enter a lineup in the $15 million best ball contest for just $20, and you'll score another best ball ticket to play free for a share of $15 million, giving you a second shot to win big. It's easy. Just draft your team once, no weekly management required, and let your top scorers automatically start each week. Across the whole season, every breakout start, every clutch play, every touchdown will count toward your quest for a share of $15 million. You want to start your draft with Ja'Marr Chase and come back around with Joe Burrow? Get yourself a nice little Bengals stack? You definitely can. You want to try to play the ADP a little bit and scoop some value on rookies? You could definitely build your roster that way. You could do anything you want in this $15 million best ball contest. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now to draft your $20 best ball lineup to play for a share of $15 million. You get a second ticket to play free for a share of $15 million. That's two chances to win big without ever setting your lineup again. Draft one, get one. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per customer. Enter the Best Ball $15 million Headliner Contest by September 4th, 2025 to get one bonus entry. $20 entry fee required. Reward expires in 30 days. See terms at DraftKings.com/NFL-best-ball. Sponsored by DraftKings.
Get you out of here. All right. Welcome back, folks. We're through the Texans. We're through the Jaguars. We've learned that Dave loves Brenton Strange, and I love Trevor Lawrence a little more than the rest of the world. But either way, we're going to talk about some more very questionable quarterbacks and some more questionable wide receiver positions here. Dave, let's start it out with the Titans. We got the guy that I liked a lot, has some room for growth, 100%, but really liked him at Washington State. He went over to Miami and kind of just showed the world what we saw at Washington State, but in a bigger fashion and a more explosive offense. Cam Ward, is he the real deal for you? Is he a franchise quarterback? Is he a guy that you are fine taking in a dynasty startup as like your mid-tier quarterback? Doesn't really offer us the rushing upside, so he's not really probably top 12, but still feels like a very solid gunslinger type of quarterback for us as a QB2 in super flex formats.
100%. I think that when you look at the situation, they've done a lot to improve this offensive line, and they've built everything up just in perfect timing to get a quarterback. I think he's in a great situation. I think the weapons could be a little better. You know, you have Calvin Ridley, who's oddly a little older, even though it doesn't feel that way. Elik Amanor, you got Chig. They could use another piece or two, and hopefully they can figure that out But I still think, you know, this is a guy that's going to have a ton of volume. His defense is not great. Plays in a great division. He does run enough. He's not Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen, but he runs enough to get some fantasy points. And like you said, he's not, he's got a strong arm. He's going to throw it down the field. He might get you a few turnovers. But you know what? Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzpatrick were great for fantasy football. I think Cam Ward could be one of those guys who, yeah, probably have to deal with a bunch of turnovers. But you're going to get a bunch of touchdowns, a bunch of yards out of him.
Yeah, and I feel like he's a step up from Levis. Like, Levis, also turnovers, also big arm. So if you're making that comparison with the helmet scouting and the team scouting, he's better than Will Levis. So I'm in on it. I think that where he goes is perfectly priced. I wouldn't say he's overpriced. I wouldn't say he's underpriced. I think he's in that good spot until we see what we do get from him at the NFL level.
Yep.
And like you mentioned, receivers could be better. So we're going to jump to the receivers real quick. Calvin Ridley, older. Is he still in the top 20 for you for dynasty receivers, or like too hard just based on age?
Just based on age, he's outside the top 20. But if you're looking for like a wide receiver two, wide receiver three, and you're, you know, trying to put your team over the edge, he's a great ad. He's super cheap because of the, you know, the optics. He is a little bit older, so you're only going to get, you know, one or two more good years out of him, I think. But yeah, if the price is right, I would go get Ridley right now. And you know, he's, like I said, the price has been right. I've been able to pick him up in a couple, you know, like I have an auction league, and it just was, you know, just one of those guys where I'm like, really?
Any love for Tyler Lockett in this offense for 2025? Obviously no long-term value, but
no, I mean,
like a low end bench, like a
feeling, you know,
like
type,
maybe, but like,
yeah, I think if he gets enough volume, and we know that like Cam Ward loved the slot position at Miami, mm-hmm. and he really, really threw a ton to, you know,
was Restrepo, who's also on the roster.
But I just, for me, like Tyler Lockett offers you 0 yards after the catch. So only in PPR leagues, and he would be a deep flex.
Yeah. And I still want to see his role. Like if Restrepo makes a team, is Restrepo the slot guy? Like how's this work? Cause Lockett's never been, I mean, he's been operating out of the slot, but he's not really that short yardage PPR guy. Like he's been out of the slot and kind of stretching the field in a way. So feel like I don't know what his role really is. So I'm not looking at the investment here because maybe I'll miss out on it, but like, he's not going to give you, I don't think, top 24 options. So like, you're missing out on what, a wide receiver three. I mean, you can find him almost anywhere. So.
And is this team going to run more 11 personnel or more 12 personnel? They got a rookie quarterback. Maybe they run a lot more 12 personnel, run the ball, a lot of play action that takes the slot off the field. You see more Chig than you would Lockett. Mm-hmm. I think that's where I would think they go with kind of that, you know, Callahan's
going towards the tight end position.
Yeah.
Are you in on Chig being a little bit of a breakout? Like if you had to pick a breakout tight end, you know, we talked about Strange being kind of in that territory. Like, would you prefer Strange to Chig, or where are you at between like, say, those two?
I prefer Strange to Chig, but Chig's another guy where just so freaking cheap. Like, mm-hmm. He's just so cheap. Like, you know, when you think about like who has a better season this year, him or like a Tucker Kraft Jonnu Smith. I mean, I wouldn't say there's a huge difference, and you're getting him like so much cheaper
later. Yeah.
And so that's where I'm okay with taking a stab at him, especially if you're like struggling, need to kind of shotgun approach your tight ends, scoop him up. And
even in some of the shallower leagues, he's probably just sitting on your waiver wire. Honestly, tell you the truth. So also pass catchers, final question, rookie 101 here. We talked a little about Restrepo, so I'm not going to include him in here anyways. Wasn't going to, but their top two receiver picks. Are you team Alec Aomanor or Shemare Dyke?
Aomanor for sure.
Do you think he's going to be viable right away? And do you think there's a long-term value in Aomanor for fantasy potentially becoming like the team's one after Ridley?
He could. I think he profiles more as a number. He profiles more as a number two. But mm-hmm. you know, with Ridley's age and situation, he could develop into that. But I do think he offers a good complement to Ridley. Mm-hmm. And we've seen him. I mean, he's looked really good in camp. Had, you know, he had some nice plays in the preseason. I mean, he's someone that, you know, he's going to be really tough for those smaller corners, because he's just a big bully. And so I like his game.
All right. We can agree to agree on that one, because I'm a big Alec Aomanor guy. I think that it was a guy that I was taking in rookie drafts when the value was there. Going to get a little bit of a higher price now with some of that camp buzz and preseason buzz, like you had said. Last question here, pretty simple. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, like, where are you at here? Is it the year Spears takes over? Obviously, we have an injury now with Tajay Spears. But Pollard has seen his injuries up there in age. Like, it feels like it's still Tony Pollard in 25 for me. But do you think Spears has maybe some long-term dynasty value in this offense? Or do you think the injuries are going to kind of just start to pile up? Size doesn't really profile as a lead guy in this backfield.
Yeah, I think you take the 1 year on Pollard, and then you don't know what's going to happen. And any of these running backs like a Spears, they could be replaced. I mean, I know the 2026 class isn't sexy, but there's so many, you know, with so many transfers and things like that, like, there's so many running backs that could emerge with the transfer portal. And I just think he's easily replaceable. You know, and like you said, the injuries, the team notices that. And when you have a contract year coming up, like, they're going to look for your replacement. So even if Pollard's out of the way next year, I don't necessarily think Spears has a clear shot at taking over anything.
I'd agree. I never was a huge, I mean, I like the player. He's explosive. He's fun to watch, but doesn't profile really as like the guy. I feel like an easily replaceable player. Like you said, the class isn't super strong next year, but strong enough to threaten Tajay Spears. Let's put it that way.
He's got no ACL. So you think about long-term. I mean, we were already,
I
mean, worried.
I was just hoping he couldn't get hurt. I mean, he doesn't have them, so he can't hurt him. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? It's almost running back proof there, injury proof there. Either way, moving on to the Colts, a much of a kind of disaster, for lack of a better term, on the offensive side of the football the last few seasons, for fantasy and everything. But we know it's Jonathan Taylor, the running back room, not too excited, not going to talk too much about it, don't really care. It's Jonathan Taylor, bust. DJ Giddens, interesting, but not like going crazy to put him on my roster. However, at the quarterback position, do we have a long-term starter in Indianapolis at all between Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones?
I think that they are probably really hoping they could get another Manning over there in Indianapolis. I think you're going
to
see.
They might have to wait until 2027 if that's the case.
Apparently, you're going to have to. But I just don't think you get a long. I don't think you have a long-term fit here. AR is the one you would hope from an Indianapolis Colts standpoint is the guy. Daniel Jones, I mean, we've seen him with the Giants. And, you know, the Daniel Jones, you know, that roller coaster, 1 week you're like, okay, he can do it. Next week he can't. Or, you know, he has three or four quarters. He has three quarters with these, you know, pretty good play. But he's the kind of guy where the offensive line has to do their job. The receivers have to do their job to make him look good and make him, he cannot carry a team. And so I just don't think you're going to get a long-term option out of Daniel Jones. And he himself has quite the injury history with neck injury, ACL tear. I think, you know, the problem with this offense is it's going to be hard. You know, remember when they had Flacco and Richardson, it was like Flacco's in this week, start Josh Downs, you know, get excited. Then, okay, Richardson's coming back. All right, sit all the receivers and start Richardson. Then he gets hurt in the second quarter, and you're like, gosh, you know, it's like, I think that's what the season's going to be like for both these quarterbacks. They probably both start a handful of games. You might even get a little Riley Leonard in there. I think it's going to be a rough season for the Colts. And, you know, you talk about Jonathan Taylor. He's missed more games than Christian McCaffrey in the last 2 years. He's another one where he's just, it's been rough.
Yeah, I think Taylor's semi behind. Maybe not. I don't know. But I mean, they paid him. Like, Giddens is a great handcuff in that situation. But, like, it's Jonathan Taylor's backfield. Like, Giddens isn't vying for a role for touches if Taylor's healthy. Like, so not too worried there. Moving to the wide receiver position, though, you mentioned it a little bit based on Anthony Richardson and Flacco last season, but is there a receiver here that you love? Like, I love the talent of Josh Downs. I think Michael Pittman's been a solid player. But is there really fantasy viability here for like weekly starting ability at all? Like, it's fun to talk about, but are they, any of them really going to be a trustworthy plug and play type of flex player for us at all ever?
No. And that it comes again back to the quarterbacks. When you have, like, you know, Alec Pierce is a really fun best ball play when Anthony Richardson's out there. But like Josh Downs is going to be interesting play when Daniel Jones is out there. Remember, he would, you know, give Wandale Robinson 10 targets for 23 yards. And Josh Downs is one of those. He's not going to score a lot of touchdowns, not going to do a whole lot after the catch, but in a PPR setting, I could see him getting 10, 12 targets with Daniel Jones. Steichen loves Josh Downs. And, you know, I think that would be, he would be the one I would like the most. But again, I would want to know who the quarterback is. And so for that, I mean, again, for all those reasons, I'm out.
Yeah, and I feel like Josh Downs is the guy. I would agree. That's where I'm looking to invest. He can kind of stretch the field. We've seen a little bit of that. So it's a little bit, he plays typically more so out of the slot, but can play outside. So long term, I think there's some value to be had for Josh Downs. It's just, it's going to be a roller coaster until the quarterback situation's figured out. So I'm kind of out on him a little bit at the moment in Dynasty, just because like everybody's in on him. You know, he had a good reception perception profile. Like, there's been some hype about him. Like there's a push on Josh Downs right now, as far as managers trying to get him. So his value has spiked a little. So I'm a kind of like, I don't want to pay. Like, he was great for when you could get him cheap, and right now he's not as cheap. So it's a little bit of like, I'd still potentially invest if he's like a piece coming back in like a bigger deal for some higher names, but probably not a guy I'm like one for trying to go get. Like, that's where I'd almost rather go to Pittman. Like, I know it's been a rough couple seasons, but like those rough couple seasons have created a good value for Michael Pittman, who I think is still a big, big key integral factor of this passing attack when they get it figured out. So again, value, like we've talked about a lot throughout this podcast, is just kind of leans to Pittman a little, but I do still love Josh Downs very much. So my favorite receiver in this group to try to acquire. Tight ends, we've had a few good rookie tight ends the past few seasons, and we have one here in the AFC South and a guy that very many people are excited about in Tyler Warren. Dave, before he plays an NFL snap, do you have him as a top five dynasty tight end?
I have him right there. It's really kind of, do you have Loveland or Warren? That was kind of the conversation during the draft. I listened to a lot of Move the Sticks, so I did put some money down for Loveland going ahead of Warren. But Warren does fit this offense and fits what they're doing really well. And what you're looking for, and as far as like early production or just production in general from the tight end position, can they be a top two target on their team? I think there's a strong argument for yes, with this offense, because you don't necessarily have premier pass catchers. I know they have a bunch of guys, but Warren, I think he's going to be a focal point of this offense. And I got him right there, because when you look at it from a dynasty perspective, yeah, you're going to get more production early from Hockenson and from Kittle, but you have Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, and then who else? You got Loveland, you got Warren. You know, Kittle and Hockenson. I feel like
some people would put Laporta back up there still.
So you got Laporta, and then you got Loveland and Warren. Yeah. That's the top five. And then you got Kittle and Hockenson. On the ECR, they have Hockenson and Kittle above Warren. I disagree because age.
And that's fair. I feel like the tight end position is one of those spots that age doesn't factor a ton, kind of like quarterback. Like, it factors some, but like the tight ends tend to play a little bit longer for times. You know, they kind of get close to the 30s and still can have production, because it's not a position that the uber athletes are always the best. You know, like they are, but they're not always getting the target volume. Like Brock Bowers, uber athlete, target volume, you know, like, and they season like wine, you know, like you're where you're going. Takes a little bit for them to get going, but I just don't know. I have concerns. Like, yeah, I know you said there's an argument to be made that he could be a top two target in this offense. But we've also spent the last 6 minutes explaining that this target passing volume and offense is bad. So, like, do we want a top target in a bad passing offense at a tight end position? You know, like, I mean, tight ends is kind of like a throw a dart at the wall. But, like, is there upside for Tyler Warren? Sure. But it's a team that, like, the passing attack's not exciting. Their real main option in offense is a running back, and they're going to feed him, or it's a running quarterback who has struggled to throw the football or read a defense. So concerns definitely for me from Tyler Warren. I think if it's Daniel Jones, like, Tyler Warren's going to have a good year. Like, we've seen him target tight ends. Yep. We've seen him check down. Like, that's Daniel Jones's MO. Anthony Richardson, like you mentioned with Alec Pierce, a little bit more of a gunslinger. He's going to let it rip to triple coverage. So,
and he's only going to complete half of his 20 attempts.
Exactly. So, yes, Tyler Warren may see 255 targets, but only 60 will be catchable. So, it's going to be one of those seasons probably for Tyler Warren. So, we'll see. I have questions. I like Loveland. I think he was a better tight end prospect overall for the position. Warren's unique, a little unicorn-esque in that type of role, showing that ability to be a little bit of a threat at Penn State in the run game, etc. So, just Loveland, prototypically, it seemed like a better tight end at the NFL level. So we'll see. Either way, Dave, it has been a pleasure. That's the AFC South. A lot of questions, a lot of jumble, a lot of pick your favorite name, to be honest, in most of these offenses. Very few fantasy staples anymore in the AFC South here headed into 2025. So Dave, before we get out of here, again, let everybody know where they can find you and if you got anything cool and exciting coming up in the fantasy space.
Now, just you know, make sure you guys check out Dynasty Trade Calculator. I know some people crap on calculators and stuff like that. For me, I'm a super busy guy, and so trade charts and calculators and stuff definitely help me get some trades. And so, and if you got any just questions or trades to throw out there on Twitter, I'm the social media guy for DTC. So I'll throw it out there and see if we can get you some feedback.
Love it. And I agree. I know there's some hate to trade calculators, always a hard thing based on values within own managers' minds. But I do like Dynasty Trade Calculator. I've used it for years. It gives you a good baseline idea of values because, like you said, your rankings, you value the value of a player. My rankings, I look at the upside or like maybe the overall talent of a player. So that everybody ranks differently, in turn creates their own values, but at least Trade Calculator gives you a pretty solid, and it's a respectable company of like, this is a good baseline to start somewhere. So you're not sending insulting offers to other managers. So I like it. Check it out. Like Dave said, and as always, follow Dave at Dynasty Dorks on X, other socials as well. Dave, is it all the same handle?
All the same.
So, right? All right. Pope's FFH for me on X, and then obviously FTN Fantasy on all the socials as well. And please, if you can, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It is greatly appreciated. And as always, thank you for the listen. Take care.